And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold, and shall inherit everlasting life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Always a privilege to come with the Lord's Word to you today. And this week, between Christmas and New Year's, we're entering into the subject of rewards for the Christian life and for Christian service. As we wrap up the year that is behind and as we enter into the new, we want to be assured that it is no vain thing to serve the Lord. Indeed, it is the most profitable employment of all. There's nothing better that you can do in your life than serve the Lord Jesus. As one has said, only what's done for Jesus will last. Only one life to give. I must not miss God's well done. And so I trust that you will be with us through the program today as we deal with this subject, and that the Lord will encourage your heart. Let me say now, thank you for being a listener through the year. And if you have not been in touch, I look forward to hearing from you. Maybe you can send me a short email or give me a phone call. I would just love to know that you are listening into these broadcasts day by day, hearing God's word. And also let me encourage you to ask your friends to tune in, that they too may hear the message of the gospel. And of course, for those who pray, thank you. We thank you in the Lord's name for your prayers for the preaching of the Lord's word here on this broadcast and on our various broadcasts across Canada, Vancouver, Calgary, Swift Current, Portage La Prairie, Manitoba, reaching into those provinces, Toronto, New Brunswick, and into the Maritimes. Stay tuned now for the program today on rewards.
Isn't that wonderful? Peter's asking, what shall we have therefore? A poor man that has forsaken all for Jesus' sake, left houses, lands, family, and many other things for a life of instability in this world, a life of reproach and persecution. And the Lord says, if you suffer with me, we shall also be glorified together. Now let's read on in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. And we can keep reading all the way down to verse 25. And this wonderful chapter of Romans 8 lays out this hope of glory. And it says in verse 25, but if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Now he's talking about the invisible blessings that are before the Christian. And then there's another passage. I just want to reinforce this, because sometimes we think of Jesus' teachings in the Gospels, especially in parables, that they're flowery language, they don't really hit home as doctrine and solid teaching. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. Now, if we didn't have this hope, we might faint. We might give up. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now the Lord referred to the regeneration, and that is when this world will burn up. It will be destroyed by fire, and there will be a new reign of righteousness. The new Jerusalem will come down, and the church of Christ shall be united with her Lord and reign with him. And so this is the grand truth that every Christian lays hold upon. And the Bible and the Lord himself answers Peter's question very, very thoroughly. And this truth and the hope of glory to reign one day with him, that we suffer here, endure hardship here, now for a little while, that we might reign with him for all eternity. And of course, this is why the martyrs of the Christian church were willing to face the fire rather than renounce their faith. This is why there were many that were willing to be enduring hardship, exiled, persecuted, fleeing their homelands, displaced, suffering, shame and scorn and poverty. Why? That they might lay hold upon the hope of the disciple of Christ. And so this is the Lord's answer to us. And I hope that you can fortify your Christian life and build into your heart this conviction that it shall be worth it all. Now we come then to the promised portion. If we come back to Matthew 19, and it goes on to talk about those who forsake all these things shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. So you can see there are two parts to the promise. In this life, a hundredfold, and in the life to come, eternal life. Now, what a mighty multiplication factor, 100. So if we give up 1 acre, we get 100. If we give up 10 acres, we get 1,000. If you give up 100 acres, you get 10,000. If you give up one home, you get 100 homes. Now, wait a minute, who needs 100 homes? Surely that would only become a burden rather than a blessing. And so we would expect that the language the Lord is using here is something of hyperbole. But he is demonstrating that the gain will far exceed the loss. What you may possibly lose as a Christian in this life will be more than rewarded even in this world. Now, it's more likely the truth that the Lord here is reassuring his disciples that no one who ever follows him and forsakes all will be the loser in the long run. Yes, we may suffer for a little. We may find inconvenience, hurt. We may even be cast out of certain company. We might lose that position, that job. And in this culture, we are coming to a time when to be a Christian applying for certain jobs, especially in the government, in various social programs, the Christian, their values are excluded. And that's a price. That's a cost. But the Lord can open up other ways of rewarding. And he can honor his people even through their losses. He can open homes for those who have lost their home or given up their home. He can make new friends with people who have lost friends because they have followed the Lord. In the Psalm 37:25, it says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And that plays out in general terms. There are exceptions. There are horrible things that have happened in this world to Christian people. And there are martyrdoms and persecution that are horrible. But in the general run of life, what the Lord is promising here is that we will gain, we will be advanced in this world by humility, submission, and the Lord will open ways to make us useful in his kingdom. And it is the person who has overcome covetousness that is truly rich. I read in the Proverbs, I think it was Proverbs 30, where it talks about the horse leech has two daughters that cry, give and give. And there are four things that are never fully satisfied. The grave is one of them, and money, or the lust for money, is the other. And even those who may be well off, rich in this world, they are never satisfied. They always want more. But it is the person who has learned to be content and has found that Christ is our portion. Someone spoke of, I'd rather have 1 hour with the Lord than all the riches of this world. Now, if that is your heart today, you have contentment and you have peace. You have the blessing of God. And grace teaches us to find everything not in material riches, fame, fortune, but in our Savior, in knowing Him and enjoying His wonderful fellowship. Now that's in this world. And then what happens in the world to come? Look at the end of verse 29, and it says, and shall inherit everlasting life. And here opens up a whole universe of promises in that statement. As the John Newton put it, when we've been there 10,000 years to sing God's praise, we have no less days to praise Him. Eternity with the Lord is the boon of all blessings, and life with the Lord Jesus in a renovated world, no more curse, no more sin, no more death, where we will be with Christ and His church for all eternity. Peter asks, what shall we have therefore? And here's the Lord's answer to him. Can you take that on board in your heart and rest in what the Lord promises to every one of us? Then I come in closing to verse 30, and we look at the tragic rejection of the promise. Now, I call it tragic because this verse begins with a but. It's the exception. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. This is a word that really causes the shivers of our back. Now, the full treatment of this text is over the page in chapter 20, in this parable of the householder and his vineyard hiring men at various stages of the day. Now, we're going to preach that tonight, so I'm not going to give you a whole summary of that right now. But the Lord backed up this statement with clear teaching that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Now, this could well be an allusion to the Jewish people versus Gentiles. It was the Jewish people, the Israelite, who for all their heritage had the Bible, the knowledge of God, all the patriarchs, the prophets, and all who had been leading people in a way of light and truth. And then, of course, our Lord Jesus was born of the line of David. To the Jew first, the gospel came. But the first shall be last. And then opens up the amazing world of the gospel to the Gentiles. People of the most likely background and places. And they enter in first. This is very humbling, but it's also very encouraging. And in our day, as we think of people who turn their back on the Lord, reject the gospel, yet there will be others who shall be first. And the Lord is not limited by time to save His people. Just as Abraham was brought in 3,500 years ago, people can be saved today. Abraham is saved by the same gospel with all the same privileges and blessings as the most recent convert in this year. No difference. The last shall be first. When Abraham got that promise that he shall be the father of many nations and of many people as the stars of the sky, I don't think he could fully have comprehended that all these years later, that sinners will hear the gospel, turn from their sin, and be wonderfully saved. And the Lord is not limited by any nation or place. There's a wonderful account of an English preacher who went to New Zealand, and his name was Borham. And he actually loved the area of Tasmania. Tasmania, he just fell in love with that island, just south of Australia. But in New Zealand in particular, the gospel was well received. A people at the total opposite end of the world, yet they receive the message of the gospel. The last shall be first, and the first shall be last. In my own little life, I've had the privilege of going to a town called Norwood, Sri Lanka, right in the center of that island, up in the mountains, and to worship with the tea pickers. We had a walk, a narrow path that a vehicle could not travel, and there the local workers on that plantation had erected a little church. It was made of blocks and cement, a permanent structure where they would worship the Lord. And although they be far removed from Israel, from the Reformation, from the English Bible, yet those Tamil people rejoice in the gospel. Breaks our hearts to see Canadians who close the door to the gospel. It breaks my heart to preach in this pulpit week after week, and people I fear who have never given their heart to Christ, who have never bowed the knee to Jesus. Thankfully you come, you listen, but what have you done with Jesus? Maybe you started out thinking, I could never be a Christian. But remember this, the last shall be first. You thought you're the last person that would ever be invited, but now you are invited indeed and included if you will come. Will you come? Give your heart to the Savior? What sin is holding you back? What do you have to forsake that you might be a disciple of Christ? Because that's what this is about. They which have followed me, forsaking so many things for Jesus' name's sake. Now, as I speak to you this morning, you know exactly the sin that pops up in your mind. The habit, the attachment that needs to be broken off if you're going to be a disciple of Christ. Now, the challenge is, are you going to serve that habit? Are you going to cling to that sin? Or are you going to become a disciple of Christ? Peter, James, and John, they had to leave their boats, their nets, their fish. There's always something that stands in the way. What is it? If you can put your finger on it, and you can, I know you can, that very thing that hinders you from being an out-and-out Christian, then today I plead with you to break it off and do not serve this world and its vanities, its emptinesses, but rather come and give your heart to Christ. What a best possible conclusion to the year that would be. And I plead with you earnestly. I do not set this up in some fabulous way that might impress people. I'm pleading with your heart. I'm asking you to surrender your all today, to give up anything and everything that might stand between you and discipleship and, of course, salvation. Thankfully, we are in the hands of a sovereign God, and He's the one who calls. He's the one who hires, and He's the one who gives wages. And the hour might be late, but the wages are the same. That's the mystery of the gospel. It's grace. It's not based on performance. It's pure grace. And there's no argument you can dig up that will hinder you from coming, trusting, and believing the gospel. And if I can help you in any which way, I am here for you. Today, tomorrow, by phone, to visit, whatever I can do, that you might fully be a disciple of the Lord Jesus.
Look and hear the heart like Jesus, by His presence all divine, true and tender, pure and precious. Oh, how blessed to call Him mine. All that thrills my soul is Jesus. He's more than life to me. And the fairest top 10,000 in my blessed Lord I see.
As we come to the close of this year, we want to sincerely thank you for being one of our faithful listeners, joining with us day by day at the station at this time, and for your encouragement to us, those who write us, those who phone, email or mail in. We want to thank you for your faithful contact through the year. And I want to encourage you that if you have not been in touch through the year, then you, by some means, just let us know that you're listening. That would be a tremendous encouragement. And, of course, if I can be of any personal help, I will take delight in talking with you personally one-to-one. The phone number is 604-576-1091. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, thanking you sincerely for your faithful interest and support through the year. Thank you for joining with us on the program today. I appreciate your listening in. Now, in this time of pandemic, I know that many people are deeply concerned about the future, deeply concerned about their own health and opportunities in life. Some have suffered greatly concerning their businesses or their work, and others have faced health issues. We think of our medical people, doctors, nurses, and they are greatly stretched. Let's lift up our hearts in prayer today just to find our comfort and strength in the Lord. Father, we come to thee today in the name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus. Thou said unto us that we are to come to thee to seek, to knock, and to ask, and it shall be given unto us, it shall be opened to us. We just ask today for the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that through this time of pandemic, when people are isolated, lonely, and in need of grace, O Lord, that you will give us that double portion of the Spirit. You have said that your grace is all sufficient. And we pray that we may learn to prove the sufficiency of thy grace to our souls and to keep us in your daily care. So we pray that you will send your Spirit, breathe upon us, lead us to the Word, and let us rest in the promises that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. We ask in our Savior's name. And so again, I thank you for joining with us here on our program, not only today, but throughout this past year. Stay with us, I trust, at this time each day as we let the Bible speak.